And welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with the guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And I'm now blessed and honored to help many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they have always dreamed of. This virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I'm thrilled to tell you that I've gathered some of the world's top experts to give you their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm really excited to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. It's my privilege to introduce our wonderful guest and my friend, Mamoun Youssef. Welcome, Mamoun.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you so much. Such a privilege and an honor to be able to be on this call and to be interviewed by you and to be able to serve and just share all of the insights I've had around relationships with everyone on the call.
Well, thank you so much, Mamoun. We're so happy to have you, and I know that what you share will be really valuable to so many women on the summit. Before we get started, I'd like to just share with each of you a little bit more about Mamoun. Mamoun Youssef is known by thousands of people around the world as the Quran Coach because he is an internationally renowned transformational speaker, author, and personal coach, and is the star of his own TV show called The Quran Coach, which aired across the United Kingdom. Due to the enormous demand from within the Muslim community since 2011, Mamoun has been coaching single women and sharing timeless principles for finding love that lasts forever. He created meethimandmarryhim.com specifically for single women who are looking for a long-term relationship. Mamoun is also the co-founder of IMPACT, the international membership of professional advisors, coaches, and trainers, the world's fastest-growing, most dynamic association for professional coaches. Currently, Mamoun lives in Barcelona and is authoring a book titled Meet Him and Marry Him, Timeless Wisdom for Finding Love That Lasts Forever. Oh, I love that title. And Mamoun is going to share today some thoughts on the only thing you need to know to find the love that lasts forever. Mamoun, welcome again. And I'd like to get started by asking you a little bit about your experience. And I know specifically you have been working mainly within the Muslim community. And I know that's somewhat unique. And we have, of course, on the summit women from all different backgrounds, countries, religious beliefs, and cultures. And I'm just curious to hear from your perspective, are the challenges that the women you work with different than those of other women out there?
Yeah, great question. I found that, I don't only coach Muslims or Muslim women. I have clients from all different faith backgrounds as well. And first, I guess most noticeable thing in the Muslim community is that the challenges that women face are essentially exactly the same as everyone else. Everyone has insecurities. Everyone has fears. Everyone has doubts. Everyone, you know, gets to a certain age and starts thinking, oh my gosh, you know, maybe I'm too this, maybe I'm too that, maybe I'm too old. I found that the challenges when we, on a surface level, they might look like they're different and they might be couched in different language, right?
Right.
But when it really comes down to it, it's the same issue underneath it. And I've found that that's the case every time. So there maybe a different language couching it. Muslim women tend to talk about being married first and foremost, you know, more than talking about being in a relationship or anything else. So they always have this long-term view of wanting to be married and that kind of thing. That's been my experience. But really the heart of the matter is it's the same inner game challenges that are holding people back.
Yeah, I have found that as well because I've worked with women throughout the world from all different backgrounds and cultures. and coming from all different belief systems. And you're right, I think that the fears, the challenges, the places we get stuck are very similar, and we have much more in common perhaps on this front than anything that is different or unique. I'm curious to know, though, Mamoun, from your perspective, what do you see as being the number one biggest challenge the women that you've worked with that they face in finding love?
Yeah. So almost everyone I've worked with, when we start working together and after we've worked together for a while, what seems to be the number one biggest challenge kind of changes. So let me explain what I mean by that. Most people, when I start working with them, like, what's the biggest challenge? What's holding you back? What's getting in the way from you finding love? And usually the answer is, well, I've tried, you know, going to dating websites and that doesn't work. You know, I've tried, getting set up by people I know, by friends or family or my parents. That hasn't worked. I've tried going here. That hasn't worked. I've tried, you know, basically tried everything. You know, I've been set up with people through friends. I've tried blind dates. I've tried this. I've tried that. And it almost starts out like there's something outside of me that isn't working, or there's something inside of me that's broken. Like, how come? Look, I've tried all the advice. I've followed all the advice. I've read books about relationships, you know, and I've taken courses. You know, and it's great to meet people that actually are mature enough and get to the point where they start doing those things and they start thinking, okay, you know, this requires some study and introspection. But the number one challenge always starts out looking like it's something external to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I found that really interesting is that deeper the conversation gets, the more the challenge stops looking like it's the places to go, the things to do, the people to meet, what to say, how my body language should be, where my eye contact should be. The deeper our conversation gets, the more we come to the reality that the real problem has never been any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So while the number one biggest challenge might look like it's not knowing the things to say on the first date or how to act or things like that, I found that those things kind of disappear when we get to the root cause underneath it all, which is the real biggest challenge that every woman faces and really every man faces too when it comes to relationships.
Mm.
Are you curious what that is?
Very curious, yes, and I'm hoping you're going to tell us now.
Yeah. No, I'm just going to leave it there. The number one biggest challenge that I think everyone faces when they are single is, well, let me ask the question in a different way. And I've done this at events, and I do this when I'm coaching people. Usually if I'm talking to a woman, I say, so, hey, what is the number one most attractive quality in a guy you want? And a lot of times, you know, there might be some other, you know, kind of superficial qualities, but then when it comes down to it, a lot of the time they hear the answer is confidence. You know, I want a guy who's confident and passionate and knows what he wants and that kind of thing. I say, okay, great. And then I say, well, what do you think? I mean, what's the number one most attractive quality you think a man wants in a woman? And again, near the beginning of the conversation, it might be, oh, guys just want, you know, good looks, right?
Right.
That's the only thing, guys. They're really interested in one thing. Usually that's where the conversation starts. But as we go deeper, it emerges that actually the most attractive quality in a woman is also confidence, you know? And even, you know, it's not the first thing that a man notices about a woman necessarily, but it's definitely the most attractive quality. Like, no guy wants to be with psycho stalker girl. Doesn't matter how hot she is, right? Nobody wants her. Neediness is like kryptonite to members of the opposite gender, whichever gender you are, right?
Right.
So underneath it all, the biggest challenge is there are different ways you could label it. You could label it insecurity. You could label it neediness. But what I have found time after time, the number one actual challenge is the belief that I need someone else in my life in order for me to be truly happy.
Mm.
And that probably sounds really reasonable. Yeah, well, of course I need someone else in my life in order to be really happy. You know, I did an event recently, and there were a few people there from a camera crew because the event was being filmed, and there were a few people kind of hanging out in the back of the room who weren't really part of the event, but they were just hanging out. And so at one point in the event, I did an exercise, and, you know, I had people, you know, do this exercise, and then I went to the back of the room, and I was having my little tea break while everyone else was hard working. It's always good being the trainer at events like that, right? I got everyone else doing these exercises, and then I noticed that there was a couple of ladies at the back who were having, you know, who I thought were really getting into the exercise. So I went and spoke with them, and it turned out they weren't doing the exercise at all, but they were just having a really deep conversation about relationships. So I checked in with one of them and said, okay, well, you know, what's going on now? And, you know, she was like, well, you know, I'm single, divorced, and, you know, I don't know why, but things just aren't working, things just aren't happening for me. And this whole event was about this. You know, we weren't looking at relationships specifically, but at least 80% of the cases we looked at were people with relationship issues. And so I was talking with her and I said, okay, so, you know, what's really going on? And as she was talking, it just became really clear to me that she, like, and I asked her straight up, I was like, it sounds like you think you'd be really happy if you found a great man and could settle down and get married again. She was like, yes, that would make me really happy. Like, okay. And it sounds like if you never found a man and you never settled down and you never got married, then you'd be, and she's like, I'd be distraught if that happened. I'd be really distraught. And okay. And so as a coach, I immediately started thinking, okay, no. But the feeling was getting a little bit deeper and we were connecting deeper. And I said, I think I know why you're single. And that kind of took her by surprise.
She's like, yeah, I bet.
You know, I'm pretty sure she didn't know where it was going. And I was like, yeah, I think I know exactly why you're single. I said, the fact that you really believe you'll be really happy when you're married, and the fact that you really believe that you'll be really upset if you don't get married or if you don't find your ideal guy, that belief is exactly why you're single.
Mm.
She was a little bit perplexed. She was like, she kind of on one level, she didn't get it, but on another level, it hit her really deeply. I was like, and this was the fundamental thing that I teach, is the fundamental thing that I was teaching throughout the whole weekend course. And I was like, look, let's explore it for a moment. If you really believe you need a man in your life in order to be happy, and you really believe you're going to be distraught if you never find a man and if you never achieve that, how are you going to show up on a first date or a tenth date? How quickly are you going to want to suddenly be talking about marriage with a guy who's just having fun hanging out with you? Right. And it's not that there's anything wrong with telling you, hey, look, I'm, you know, I can hang out and have fun with anyone, but I'm looking for a real relationship. There's no problem having that conversation. It's a great conversation to have. But there is a problem coming from a space of, I really need to have a man and be married and live happily ever after in order for me to be okay.
Right.
There's a distinction between I want what I want, and I can't be happy unless I get what I want with you right now. Where's the proposal? Where's this relationship going? And then all these questions come up, and the guy gets all freaked out and runs away. But underneath all of that is this insecure, what I would call an insecurity. And what I see as being the ultimate limiting belief. And the ultimate limiting belief is that something outside of, in this context, the man, or my ideal man, my dream man, is that's what I need in order for me to be happy. And I was like, you know, I can see how it might look like that's where your happiness lies, but it never has, and it never will.
Mm. Yeah, it's very, very powerful to consider, isn't it? And I have found the same thing in working with my clients as well, that what begins as a concern about what the client might perceive as external circumstances, ultimately, when the work goes deeper, we do find that it's typically these self-limiting beliefs or kind of a clouded vision. I kind of like to have the concept out there that it's kind of like looking through a very dirty window pane. If we have a belief system that is clouded, then it makes it very difficult to be open and receptive to love. It even makes it hard for a woman to even perhaps recognize the right man if he's right in front of her, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Here's how it looks to me. If we're operating from the belief that I need another person to make me feel love, and I need another person to make me feel happy, then the implication there is that love and happiness are somewhere outside of me, and they're not already within me. And that's why Rumi said, your task is not to find love, our task is to find all of the barriers within ourselves keeping us from love. See, the moment this limiting belief, the moment this illusion, the moment you can see through this illusion, not only do you find all of the love and all of the happiness and all of the peace and presence that you could ever want are already inside of you right now, regardless of your relationship status, but the other thing that happens as a nice side effect is you become way more attractive. Because let's go back. The most attractive quality in a woman, just like a man, is confidence. Now, so here's the thing about confidence that I think everybody needs to know. Women need to know it. Men need to know it. I used to believe that there is this scale of confidence, right? So I used to believe that if I was really confident, then my life would be amazing. I'd be able to attract all the money, all the success, all the clients, and, of course, the woman that I want. I need, you know, if only I could build up my confidence. And so I used to believe that there was this scale that went from 0 to 10. And on any given day, you could ask me, and I'd tell you where I was on this scale. Like, you could say, okay, some of them, you know, and I do this with some of my clients sometimes. I'm like, okay, so how confident do you feel about going to the networking event or going to the speed dating event? I mean, Muslims, we call them marriage events, right? How confident do you feel about going to the next marriage event? How confident do you feel about the date that your friends are trying to set you up on? And they're like, oh, I'm like a 3 or I'm a 4. Like, okay. And you want to be at a 10, right? And they think, well, yeah, of course I want to be at a 10. And, you know, what would happen if you're at a 10? Well, then I'd be super attractive. I'd have nothing on my mind. I'd be free to give my best. Every guy in the room would want to, if not marry me, at least be friends with me, right? And I'd have a great time because I wouldn't even be worried about trying to impress anyone. I'm like, okay, great. Well, here's the thing. I used to think that way as well. Like, I used to think, yeah, there's a scale of confidence from 0 to 10, and my objective is to get to a 10. And right now, let's say I'm on a 7. But what that meant to me back then, and this is going to make some women, like, roll their eyes and groan, right? But, okay. What that meant to me back then was, well, I'm a 6 out of 10, which means I can go up to any woman and talk to her unless she's really, really attractive. And then I'd be like, oh, no. She's too hot for me. And, like, she's out of my league, right? No, I can't talk to her. Now, with women, it might not be the same way. It might not be a man who's, like, very, you know, physically attractive. But definitely a guy who you find attractive because of the way they act and the way they behave and how confident they are and the qualities that they express, you might feel the same way. Like, oh, my gosh, oh, no, I'm not. That guy's a bit out of my league. No, great, whatever. So I had an insight one day. Like, the moment I realized that feelings come from inside of us, not outside. Like, happiness comes from inside of us, not outside of us. Love is inside of us, not outside of us. Sadness comes from inside of us. It comes from our thoughts in the moment, not from outside. Well, the moment I started to really explore this and go deeper with it, I started having insights about different areas of life, and one of them was confidence. And I realized that actually there is no scale of confidence. There's not a scale from 0 to 10. There's more like a binary code, like 1 or 0. Either you're 100% confident, like right now, Michelle, my guess is you're probably 100% confident. There's not even a twinge of non-confidence as we're having this conversation, right?
Right.
And right now I feel 100% confident too. And we're just having this chat. You're interviewing me about, you know, stuff that we all know and, you know, our lives work, right? You and me. So confidence right now is 100%. Now, those times when it's like, oh, yeah, I feel like, no, my confidence now is maybe a 4 out of 10. Well, it's not really a 4 out of 10. It's a 0. It's like, oh, my gosh, a 0? That's even worse than a 4. Like, Well, the point is the scale of 1 to 10 doesn't exist. You're never half confident. Either you're completely confident or completely insecure. See, it only works one way. Either you're really clear right now in this moment on the fact that feelings come from inside of you. Love, happiness, peace, joy are all inside of you right now already and can only come from inside of you and can never come from a man or a relationship or anything else. Either right now you are 100% clear that the last breakup you had isn't the reason that you're feeling sad and upset. That the last time your heart was broken isn't the reason that you feel sadness. Because sadness doesn't come from somebody doing something to us from the outside. Sadness happens internally. Sadness comes from thought in the moment, just like all feelings do. The moment we start to believe, and this is a key for every relationship, whether you're in a relationship or not, the moment, and not just romantic relationships, I mean all relationships in our lives, the moment we start to believe that other people are the cause of our feelings, or that something other than thought in the moment is the cause of our feelings, is the moment we start to part from logic. In other words, it's just not possible. It's not possible that finding your dream man is what will actually cause you happiness. It's not possible that somebody saying I love you is what actually causes the feeling of love. Because happiness and love come from inside of us. It's there right now. It's part of who you are already. If you see that clearly, then you've all of those barriers that are stopping you from experiencing love, they disappear. You feel loved now. You feel happy now. And then you go and hang out with people, and unsurprisingly, people are attracted to you.
Mm.
One last thing, just in the middle of the thought. Most people believe that a great relationship will make them happy and will make them feel loved. But the truth is, you need to be happy and feel loved now if you actually want to attract a great relationship.
Yeah, and I think this is such a profound conversation that we're having here, Mamoon, because once that becomes clear, and as you know, I teach this principle, and I call it a love from the inside out, and it really does all begin and start with what's going on inside. And if you're in that place of recognizing your own power, it's really an amazing gift, because then you're not just looking for all of these external reasons or excuses as to why you're not able to find love. And it's really an empowering thought, isn't it, when you can recognize that what's going on inside of you is much more impactful than any external circumstances out there. And it's sometimes easy to say, well, it's because I live in the wrong town, or all the good ones are taken, or the kind
right.
of man I would like is not interested in me, or all of the variety of reasons that come up. Once a woman really gets clear about her own value and begins to experience this love from the inside out that you're talking about, it's really, really empowering. And for me, it's a very hopeful message, because that's an area that we can address, whereas external factors feel so out of our control, right?
Yeah. And what I found is that all of the external advice, like this is what you should write on dating websites, and this is what you should say and do on the first time you meet a guy and on the first date, and this is how many times you should call or text before you call or have phone conversations before you meet up, and like all of that advice is really useful if you're completely insecure and have no idea what you're doing. And it's really when you feel totally secure and happy and loved, to be honest with you, you could be the one writing that book about the things you did in order to find a great relationship. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not about what you do, it's about who you are. And sometimes I say this to people, and, you know, they're like, well, who am I? Like, I'm not that great. Why would anybody like? And it's like, I'm not talking about that you, you know, the you that the limiting beliefs and the ego and the I'm not that great and, you know, why would any guy like me? I'm not talking to that you. That's just your ego. I'm talking about the real you, not the thoughts you have about yourself. The real you is pure love, is pure happiness. The real you is, only does the real you not need a man. Every man needs the real you. Every man is out there searching for the real you. Yeah. So, yeah, you get to pick and choose who you want to be with. I was recently at an event. I was coaching a single Muslim woman, and we started exploring this concept that you call love from the inside out. No, I call it the first spiritual truth. You know, feelings come from inside of us, not outside of us, including love and happiness, and including hurt and sadness. It's all an inside game. It all comes from inside of us. And I had one particular client who I'd had a few coaching sessions with her, and she wasn't really getting it. And I think even you know, other coaches had spoken with her, she wasn't really getting it. And you know, I just told her, you know what, forget all this stuff, just come to the event and let's see what happens. So she came to the event, and without me talking to her directly, just teaching the stuff that we teach, she had some enormous insights, some real breakthroughs. And, you know, at one point I invited her back on stage, and she was like, no, I get it. Like, my whole life I thought it was my circumstances. I thought it was, you know, my relationships. I thought it was my parents. I thought it was my siblings. I thought that all of these people outside of me were causing my pain and hurt and sadness. And now I really get it. It's been from inside of me the whole time. And then at one point she was like, well, you know, she asked me something like, could you give me some advice about attracting a guy? I don't remember exactly what she asked, but she was somehow asking me for more advice. And I just paused. I was like, I don't know how to. I said, if you knew your true self, you wouldn't be asking that question. I said, it's like you are carrying on your back a big sack full of treasure, and now you're asking me if I have any spare change.
Mm.
And she paused. You know, I was like, yeah, I can give you some random dating advice. Sure, no problem. If you could see the wisdom and the truth and the beauty and the love and the power that's already inside of you, if you had any idea about that, you wouldn't be asking my advice. You'd be, you know, just sharing the treasure that you are. And she was kind of quiet, absorbing it, and I kept going. And I was like, so I'm into comic books, which I know is a little bit geeky, but I was like, all right. So I told everyone, okay, here comes a big comic book metaphor.
Comic book metaphor.
Here we go. And the audience are like, oh, here we go again, right? And I was like, it's almost as though you are Clark Kent with amnesia. You're fumbling around, wearing your glasses, bumping into stuff, you know, because you've forgotten who you truly are. And I don't say this like a personal compliment. I say it because people have often say and have heard the phrase, you're not a human being having a spiritual experience. You are a spiritual being having a human experience.
Right.
I believe that is literally the case. Like if we were to stop looking outside of us for all of the answers and for the love that we seek and for the happiness we seek, and we were to just quiet our minds for a moment and look within, we'll find that, you know, there's a reason every spiritual sage has said since the beginning of time, look within. That's where the answers lie. Look within. So when the ego quiets down, when the, oh, but I'm not good enough, oh, but why would any guy want me, when all of that quiets down and you look within and see who you really are, not only are you going to be incredibly attractive to pretty much everyone, friends, business, you know, clients, customers, everything, and of course men, but you'll see that there's nowhere to get to. You already are what you're trying to become.
Yeah, it struck me as you were speaking about this, Mamoon. First of all, I love the Clark Kent and Superman analogy there. I think that's really profound to consider. And it struck me that one of the things, when you started today, you were speaking about this quality of confidence. And I think a part of confidence is being able to show your real and authentic self. Because I think that authenticity is part of what makes us incredibly attractive to each other. And it's so interesting because we spend so much time trying to give certain impressions. We might, you know, mask what we think are the parts of ourselves that we don't think are as appealing. And what strikes me as being ironic about this is oftentimes the actual humanity that we show when we allow our authentic self to shine through, the good, the bad, and what we might perceive as the ugly, that's actually what makes us even more appealing and irresistible to other people out there, because they see us as a person that they can relate to. We seem more real. We are more real to them. And it's kind of an irony that we oftentimes try to mask what we might perceive as being the unflattering or less flattering parts of ourselves. And I think this place of confidence that you're speaking about allows for that authenticity to show through. And I think that's a really big part of what we're talking about here. And it's just interesting to think about how lost we can get in this because we're analyzing every little thing. Like you're talking about, what should I say? What did he mean by this? How should I text back? What should I say? What does it mean if he doesn't ask me out? We get to this analysis paralysis going on to the point that it's almost impossible to be in that relaxed, confident, authentic space, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the relaxed, confident, authentic space is your natural state. The only thing that ever pulls you out of that natural state, the illusion, that something outside of you, in this context a guy, can cause your feelings. In other words, if we're always in this natural, relaxed, confident, authentic state, right? That's how we are most of the time. That's just who we are. And then when this insecurity comes into our minds of like, oh my gosh, if he rejects me, then I'm going to feel terrible.
Right.
You know what? If he rejects you, you might feel terrible. Or you might be like, oh, thank God, I really dodged a bullet there. Right? Now, in the moment, you don't see, or even better, hey, I'm Superman, I'm bulletproof anyway, right?
right.
In the moment that you're feeling that insecurity, you don't see that. So I love doing thought experiments with people, right? So I'll give you a couple of great ones. So sometimes I ask people, I say, so give yourself a question. Say to yourself right now, and I recommend everybody listening in does this right now. Say to yourself, I wonder what my next thought will be.
I wonder what my next thought will be.
Yeah.
enjoy the pause. As you enjoyed that pause, did you have 5,000 thoughts suddenly rushing through your mind?
No.
Yeah. What was your experience of that just now?
It was interesting just to experiment with that because it really kind of helped me kind of be in this precise moment. I just wasn't projecting
exactly.
out there. I wasn't. It was just, I was just kind
yeah.
of present there for a second. Just that second, right. I was present.
Precisely.
I wasn't
yeah,
thinking about what I need to do for the rest of the day. I wasn't thinking about jumping all yeah. ahead with all these crazy thoughts.
Yeah. So, well, that is a way of becoming present. Let's just ask yourself that question. You can do it any time, at any point during the day, and you will become present. So I have an interesting question for you. Do you know what your next thought is going to be?
No, I didn't.
Me neither.
I didn't.
Yeah, I still don't know. I've tried this, you know, many different times with many different people. Turns out nobody knows what their next thought is going to be. Well, the reason that's really interesting to me is that we know that feeling comes from thought in the moment, and I have no idea what my next thought is going to be. So why do we believe we know how we will feel when we go and ask the person that we fancy out on a date, or when we go and, you know, call up the guy that you messaged on, I was going to say singlemuslim.com, but that's the website Muslims use. But why do we believe that we know how we'll feel if we get rejected? Like, you don't know how you'll feel 10 seconds from now. I don't know how I'll be feeling 10 seconds from now. It's this illusion, like, we have this illusion of control, this illusion that, like, if I get rejected, then I'm going to feel really bad. And if he says yes, or if he asks me out on a date, then I'm going to feel really good. Well, it might look that way, but I can assure you it doesn't actually work that way. Because there are times where guys have asked you out on dates and you just felt really awkward, right? There are
mm-hmm.
times where somebody's rejected you and you felt like you, oh, thank God. He's like, you know, maybe a couple of weeks later you realize, like, wow, that was really like dodging a bullet. That guy's bad news. And so the reason I say this is the who you truly are underneath all of this, the natural you, is that confident, authentic self we were talking about. The only thing that ever pulls you out of that is the illusion that something outside of you is going to cause your feeling. The reality is only, you know, you're living in the feeling of thought in the moment. Only thought in the moment causes your feelings. 100% of the time. There are no exceptions to this rule. And if you think you found an exception, I can guarantee you. this is quite funny, right? So I'll teach this to a big seminar, and everybody in the room will go, yeah, of course, everybody knows that. Feelings come from thought in the moment. That's just common sense. You know, where else? The feelings don't come from armchairs, right? Of course they come from your mind. Of course they come from thought in the moment. They're like, okay, great. I want everyone here to remember you just said that. They're like, okay. And then I said, look, every single person who has any challenges over this weekend seminar, yeah, every single person, I can absolutely guarantee you, you only have an issue, you only have a relationship issue, you only have a personal issue, if it looks to you like that statement isn't true in the context of your issue. So it's like, everybody will agree, feelings come from thought in the moment, and then they're like, oh, but no, you don't know about my situation. You don't know about, but listen to what this guy said to me, though. I'm like, okay, hear what the guy said to you, and I see how right now it looks like that's what upset you. Well, that's what I'm bringing you. But the truth is, there is an enormous power within you that separates what the guy said, you know, the world outside, from your feelings. And that enormous power is the power of thought.
Yes, it's a really interesting and impactful piece that you're talking about here, Mamoun. And I know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know many of the women are probably wondering at this point, saying to themselves, okay, well, if that is true, how do I stay in that place of confidence and not let those thoughts overtake me to the point that I'm not in that place of confidence or authenticity or peace?
Yeah. So I have some bad news and some good news. Okay,
we're sitting down for the bad news.
Okay, sit down for the bad news. Get yourself a cup of tea, especially if you're in England. Okay, here's the bad news. The bad news is the very fact that you would ask that question means that you don't really see that feelings only come from inside of you. Because if you're asking, okay, how do I make sure that I don't have negative, how do I make sure that, you know, that I can be confident the next time I go and speak with a guy and I don't fall into insecurity and self-doubt? Well, aren't you kind of assuming that you need to be confident in order that you
end up in a happy relationship with the guy because you're confident and he's attracted to you? Aren't you kind of assuming that you need to be in a happy relationship or show up confidently in order for you to be happy? So it's almost like we just fell right back into the trap, right back into square one. And I'm glad you raised it, because this is exactly what happens when I coach people and during live events. Like, we explain these things theoretically, everybody gets it, and then it's like, well, hang on, you know, but I need to be confident in order. It's not that you need to be confident in order to attract a guy in order that you can be happy. That doesn't work. Because then you're still...
But you know, Mamoon, this is a question that's on the minds of many women on this call,
which is why I
had to pose it.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm really glad that you asked it, right? Because let go of this one, and you'll return to your natural state of peace, happiness, love, and confidence. So I'm really glad you asked it, right? And so here's what it is. If you're trying to get confidence so that you can attract a guy so that you'll be happy, you've already lost. Because you believe that you need to attract a guy in order to be happy and loved, right? So it's like we're back to square one. And so this is something that comes through, like, the moment the penny drops, you won't even need to ask me any more questions. You'll just get it. And if it hasn't already, it will. Well, just keep this conversation going. Keep hanging out, you know? And I say this to all my coaching clients and everybody at my seminars, that's the only way I can absolutely guarantee you won't get this is if you end the conversation prematurely, right? You're like, oh, this is all theoretical. This doesn't apply to me. I'm going to go somewhere else. Which, inevitably, at some point, people do. But the people who stick around just a few minutes longer and keep going down this path of where feelings actually come from, and, you know, the title of this interview is The Only Thing You Need to Know, Find Love That Lasts Forever. The only thing you need to know is that a love that lasts forever is already inside of you. And the moment you tap into it, you'll become naturally attractive. And you won't be asking them the question, how do I get confident so that I can attract a guy? Because
mm-hmm.
you'll be naturally confident, and the guys will naturally be attracted. It has to work inside out. And we really, it's almost like we want it to work outside in, because if there was a to-do list of things to do in order to be confident, then you could try and implement the to-do list, right? And then,
right.
You know, and that would be so easy. But again, that would be outside in. That would be like, I'm not really confident and happy, you know, or loved. So I need to attract a guy, so give me a list of things to do in order to be confident and happy and love so that I can attract a guy. But it doesn't work that way. Even if you believe it works that way, it still doesn't. That's why you've been trying. So remember I said there was bad news and good news?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the good news. The good news is you don't even have to do that. Like, however easy you think it is or however hard you think it is to attract a guy, it's way, way easier than you think it is. Right now in this moment, even if you've been trying for years, and even if you've read all the books, and even if you've listened to every single expert on this whole interview series, right? Even if you've done all that and you're like, oh, it's still not working, it's far easier than you think it is, because it's your natural state to be happy and loved and confident, right? Whatever it is that you think you need to do in order to be happy and loved and confident, you don't even need to do that. Even easier than that. Even easier than that. You already are love. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you already are love. I love that last statement. And when you're saying that, it brings such a feeling of peace, because I do think we have a tendency as human beings to overcomplicate things, to make them overly complex. And I know for many women, myself included, because I was single until I was 43 and had a long and winding journey to love, we think if we do just the right thing, or we look just the right way, or we wear just the right clothes, or we, whatever it may be, we start looking for all these props, right? All these props to prop us up. And what they really often do is complicate things unnecessarily, and we really are, and we don't shine with that confidence or that authenticity, which is really what draws in the right person for us anyway.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, man, and I'm following everyone's advice. I'm doing all of the work. You know, I'm dressing the right way, saying the right things, doing the right things, reading the books, going to the seminars. I'm doing all of that, and it's still not working.
Right.
And really the message here is that, like, it's way easier than all of that, because you already are love. You already are happiness. You already are peace. And what I love about what you just said is that there's this feeling of peace that comes with knowing that. And
there is information in the feeling. So if at any point as you were listening, you kind of settled down a little bit and felt a little bit more secure and peaceful and loved and loving, like that feeling would have taught you more than anything I said. Now, when I talk about teaching love from the inside out, you know, it's not about the information that I share with you. It's about the things that you see and hear during this conversation that's going to really serve you. You know, so you might even want to go back and listen to the recording of this interview, you know, and just this time listen with a different set of ears. Like, turn your filter off and just see if you can settle down into what's being said. And maybe even go through all of the recordings of the great experts that have been speaking and forget about the information. Listen for a feeling. Listen to the feeling of love. That's what you've been missing all this time. Not a strategy or a to-do list or a mind game strategy. I used to teach people mind game strategies like NLP and, you know, body language and things like that. I don't teach that stuff anymore because it's not needed when there's genuine connection with the other person, because you do all of that stuff naturally.
Yeah. Well, this
the good
has
news
been...
is, however easy it seems, it's way easier.
Yes. Sometimes I like the phrase, try easier. You always hear try harder,
yeah.
But sometimes
yeah.
like the phrase,
oh,
try...
I love that.
Right?
I love that.
I've experimented with that with my clients, and this concept of try easier can be really powerful. It's like we were just talking yeah. about. We tend to overcomplicate and overthink and overanalyze
absolutely.
To the point we about drive ourselves mad sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
This has been fascinating, and I know we could chat much longer. I wish we had more time. Before we sign off, I want to have you just share a little bit about how women can find out a little bit more about your work. And then after you do that, I want to have you leave us with just kind of a parting thought or piece of wisdom, and then we'll close out
sure.
for today.
Yeah. So firstly, if you want to explore the kind of stuff that we've been talking about and go deeper with it, you can go to www.meethimandmarryhim.com. That's my website. You'll get a free video training series and articles, and as soon as it's ready, you'll get the book, Meet Him and Marry Him, the Meet Him and Marry Him book as well. So all of that is going to be available free to you on the website, meethimandmarryhim.com. And final piece of wisdom, like, funny to try and create wisdom on demand, right? Well, the truth is the wisdom that you need isn't in me, and it's not in anything I'm going to say or anything any of the other speakers are going to say either. The wisdom and the truth that you're searching for is already inside of you. Quiet your mind, look within. That's where the answers lie. All of the love in the world is already within you. And I'm not saying that like because it's a nice thing to say. I'm saying it because it is literally true. All of the love that you want and need is already inside of you. Look within. Guys will just start showing up. that becomes the easy no-brainer part, the inevitable part, you know?
Right. Thank you so much, Mamoon. I really appreciate your interview today and for you being so generous with your thoughts and wisdom. And I think that I invite each of you to experiment with the ideas that resonate with you from the summit interviews. And I really appreciate this conversation. During the summit, as you know, you have access to the best wisdom from over 25 top love, dating and relationship experts, and all of the interviews and replays are available for 48 hours. Please catch as many interviews as you can. However, knowing you're busy and may not be able to catch all of the interviews, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which includes the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews, interview highlight sheets, and summit bonuses. And the VIP package is available at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And right now, you're still able to get the summit pricing just for a couple more days, and that's $100 off the post-summit pricing. So be sure to check it out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. Thank you so much for being here with us today, and I want to again thank our special guest, Mamoon Yousaf. And I look forward to having each of you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. For now, Mamoon and I are sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for the right guy.